Last year, we began with an introduction to the Inyan of Shalom Bayis, and we focused on the Nakuda, which really is the Tzad HaShava, or that which connects the parasha of Shiduchin, of dating, together with Shalom Bayis. And that we explained by Richos, B'siyata D'Shemaya, that when it comes to dating, that there's the lower road and then there's the high road. And the highway, whenever you travel on the highway, it's always the smoothest, fastest, painless ride. At least outside of New York, it's that way. That's called the Derech HaMelech. To travel in that fashion. And when a person lives by the words of Chazal, and Emunah is true, Emes Emunah Chayk Palayavor, that he believes Be'emes, and the Emunah in the words of the Divrei Chazal, and that he knows that he's looking for the one and not just anyone, then he draws that in, and he draws himself to her. And that Emunah, which causes the Shidduch to form and to come into creation, the Chassan and Kala never neglect that for the rest of their lives. So we explained that there's a dedication that a husband and wife have to have to each other, that they're Neman to each other. And they build a bias, which is called the bias Neman B'Yisrael. And it's that nemunis, that dedication, that sense of commitment that they have to each other, which is what brings the Shekhinah into the home. And we hope to talk about the significance and how Iker it is, the discussion of Shekhinah as it pertains to husband and wife, and Shalom Bayis in the home, Mitzvah Hashem, and future Shurim. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that when it comes to Avodas Hashem, that Emunah Zu Dveikus. Everybody wants to know what's Dveikus. What's Dveikus? Dveikus is dependent on the level of a person's Emunah. And when we speak about the relationship between husband and wife, which we hope to explain in Mitzvah Hashem, that it's just a dugma de la'ila of what it means, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shchinte, the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu. That the glue which binds the husband and wife together is the Emunah and the Emunah which they have, because it's on that Emunah that the Shekhinah will be sure. And the second that a husband starts to wonder to himself, maybe he made a mistake, or he starts to think about somebody else, Chas V'Shalom, or the possibility of somebody else, or with the wife the same thing, and they create a Shvira or a Rifyon in the Yesod of Emunah between themselves, that's the beginning of the dissolving of the relationship, Chas V'Shalom. It's the Emunah which is the aside in which the Shekhinah is looking for, that the Shekhinah is Shairan, that Emunah, which is the Emunah which they have to each other. And so therefore that Ne'emunah which they have to each other through the dating process, through the engagement process, under the Chuppah, that has to be the focus of their concentration, to constantly being Mechazik, the Emunah which they have to each other. This is one of the Yesodos which we spoke about, and to be Mechazik one more time before moving forward in discussion of those things which we don't focus on when it comes to Shalom Bayis, but in the pinniest of things. And that's really our discussion here. We hope to make maybe somewhat more unique than in other marriage shiurim is that many of the resources and the books and the shiurim are concentrated on marital harmony, meaning how that husband should get along with his wife. And there are many secular books which are written about that. And they're all very nice, and the Eitzes are very good. And usually, many times, these Svarim, or books which are written, they could be really Musa Svarim. It's really just proper conduct with anybody on the street. It had to be a mensch. But then there's understanding the relationship between husband and wife, that a man has certain tchunos and a woman has certain tchunos, and to have to bring those two things together in marital harmony, okay, that's already a book on marriage, not just a Musar Sefer. And those are things which can be understood by the seichel. But then there's the way of having shalom bayis, which is more from a pinyus understanding of what is the essence of shalom bayis? What is the significance of shalom bayis? What's the relevance of shalom bayis in my life? Is it an ikker? Is it a tafel? How do I weigh in the mishkal of chassidus my relationship with my wife as things come up in life? With my children, with my Rebbe, with my Talmidim, with my Chaverim, with my Parnasa. These are types of things that if we understand what's an Irk and what's a Tafel and the relevance of Shalom Bayis, that we can understand how these things all fall into place in Mitzvah Shem. So the significance of Emuna in terms of the Emunas that a spouse has to the spouse as that Machshava and that concentration as being an ikar, and that's the glue, which is the davak be'ishto. So that nekudah pnimi is at the shayrish, so it's worth it to be mechazik time and time again. It's very interesting that this week's parsha is Parshas Korach. And I like to, Be'ezus Hashem, focus on the nekudah of shalom bayis as it appears from the parsha. Because although Parshas Korach doesn't seem to have anything to do with shalom bayis, it's quite relevant, and it's a very important yisod which comes out of the parsha. And again, our discussions may not be in particular order per se, but there are going to be points about shalom bayis as they come up, a point here, a point there, unlike dating shiurim, which were mostly from the beginning to the end of the process of beginning of dating till engagement. Although there is a place to start, which is Shana Rishona, which is a sugi in its own, which we hope to speak about in Mitzvah Hashem. But there's certain yisodos in marriage that as they come up and we discuss them, it doesn't mean that one is more important than the other one. It just means that this is something which is kedai to speak about because it's a nekuda pnimi and a nekuda ikri. Chazal tell us, it's brought down in the Medrash, Yaakov Rivaini brings it, that we know that Korach made a machlekes on Moshe and Aharon. What we didn't know is that Korach made a machama against Shabbos. We don't see anywhere in the parasha that Korach makes a machama and machlekes against Shabbos. But as I state, Korach makes a machama and machlekes against Shabbos. What does that mean? Furthermore, it says in the Zohar Kaddish that Korach made a machlekes against the mid of Shalom. Every machlekes is a machlekes against shalom. Unless you're David HaMelech, who says about himself, Ani shalom v'chiyada b'rehema l'malchama. David HaMelech says, although it looks like I'm an ish machlekes, I'm really the shalom. And when I make machlekes, it's for the sake of shalom. It's okay to fight for shalom. That's not a baal machlekes, that's a baal shalom. Zohar Kaddish says, Korach asa le'ifkama shalom dela'ila v'sata. Korach came to be pogim in shalom dela'ila and the shalom dela'tata. Apparently there's two types of shalom. The Shalom de la'ila and Shalom de la tata. And Korach came to separate between these two things. Begin kach is anish me'ila v'sata. And because of that, he was punished from above and from below. So what does it mean above and from below? So the chorah means that he was punished by two ways. By ish, and also he was swallowed up by the ground. The ish, this is called mila'ila. And he was swallowed up by the ground, that's called Shalom de la tata. What does it mean that he was made a machlekes against Shalom de la'ilam, Shalom etatzam? What does it mean, Shalom de la'ilam, Shalom etatzam? Furthermore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Yud Amud Aleph, tells us something very interesting. Rarely do we find an insight into the lives of these tzaddikim, or even Rishayim, which are mentioned in the Torah, into their personal lives. What's going on in the home? When it comes to Korach, we find something very interesting. The Gemara tells us that his wife was actually the big instigator to the machlekes. That after he had come back, shamed and down, that he was initiated into the Leviah. So his wife said to him, Vasadas, making a mockery out of you. And it was this complaint that Korach had from his wife, which is ma'ira him into the machlekes he made with Moshe and Aharon. On the other hand, we find something also interesting. That the parsha mentions Vayikach Korach, the Korach took 250 men, Dathan Vaviram, and a man called Oin ben Peles b'nei Ruvain. Now, who is Oin ben Peles? He's the leader of the Shevet Reuven. But he's not mentioned anywhere. So Chazal wonder, what happened to Oyin ben Peles? So Chazal tell us that Oyin ben Peles, his wife, saved him. That when Korach and his mob came to take Oyin ben Peles to join the rebellion, so she was sitting outside the tent, her hair was uncovered, and if Korach and his Adasa, they were big tzaddikim, they couldn't, you know, look at a woman whose hair was uncovered. So they turned around, and they said, not worth it for us to drag Oyin ben Peles into this and have to make it past his wife who's sitting at the Pesach Habayis on Tznius. It's fascinating that the demise of Korach is through his wife, but Oyin ben Peles, who was his partner in crime, he was saved by his wife. And both, by the way, pertain to Cyrus, which is the hair. It was the hair of Korach and it was the hair of Oyin ben Peles. Why do we have a glimpse? Why should it be this way? That the Yeshua of Oyin ben Peles was through his wife, yet the Kilko of Korach was through his wife. Elamai Chazal is suggesting to us something in terms of the bias of Korach and the bias of Oyin ben Peles. We know from Chazal that every Friday night, Halakas Neiros is really the union in the midst of the Isha. And the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, excuse me, Ner Shabbos, we're going to get to Chanukah momentarily. The mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is something which relates to Shalom Bayis. And even in the way that the mitzvah is conducted, Al Pi Minhag, that the husband is the one who's misagir the Neiros, and it's the Isha who's malik the Neiros, the fact that he sets up the Neiros and she's malik the Neiros shows that they're mishtatlik in the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. This is because Chazal tells us when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, the Zohar tells us, "Last Zohar says the Shabbos is doyrosam." The Zohar says, "Atikul doyrosam ela ledirasam." That when we speak about Kedushas Shabbos and we envision that the Kedusha Shabbos is somewhere which is out there, the real Iker Kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh is in the home, and that means to tell us that every single person, because he has a different home, has a different level of Kedusha on Shabbos than his neighbor does. Last Zohar says Shabbos ledirasam. Shabbos, the Iker Kedusha Shabbos, is in the home, and it's reflected in the Ner of Shabbos within each and every home. That's why we say in Baruch Kelelion, Kodesh Yilachem Shabbos Amaka, Al Toich Bateichem Lahaniach Beracha. That the Kedusha of Shabbos comes into the home. The Zohar Kodesh says, Im isle kitata b'chayla in barnash, if a person has a machlekes during the week with anyone, o im itse, or with his wife, yehele shama ima b'shabbos, he should be b'shalom with her on Shabbos. And we can understand that because the ikr nekuda of Shabbos generates, revolves around the Shabbos that he has with his wife on Shabbos Kodesh. What's Shabbos like with the Isha on Shabbos? Somebody who's married really knows that as it is with the wife, that's how it is on Shabbos. If it's a good Shabbos with the wife, then it's a good Shabbos. If it's a little bit rocky, then it's a rocky Shabbos. Especially because the husband is in the home much more during Shabbos than he is during the week. But how you go into Shabbos, how you come home from Shul, and how you greet your wife, you can sense almost right away how Shabbos is going to be. So the inyan of Ner Shabbos is the inyan of Shalom Bayis. Now there's another Ner, which is a very famous Ner in Klai Yisrael, which is the Ner Chanukah. And the inyan of Ner Chanukah and the inyan of Ner Shabbos are two totally different things. Although they may share one Kedusha, they serve two totally different functions. The Ner Shabbos is a light which we light inside the home. Ner Chanukah is a light which we light at the Pesach Habayis. And the inyan is that the whole inyan of Ner Chanukah is to take the light of Kedusha, the light of Knesset Yisrael, and to shine it out to the entire world. This is called Pirsume Nisa. As Rashi says in the Sugi of Shabbos, in Shabbos and the Sugi of Chanukah, that Pirsume Nisa is even relevant for Goyim. This is a light unto the nations, this night of Chanukah. So Ner Chanukah is a Pesumei Nisa, which shines outside the home, whereas Ner Shabbos is a light which shines within the home. And the Gemara asks this Shaila. The Gemara asks, if you have only enough to afford a Ner Chanukah or a Ner Shabbos, which one comes first? So the Gemara answers, Ner Shabbos Adif. Why? Bipnei Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis trumps Ner Chanukah. And although the Gemara tells us right after that that when it comes to Ner Chanukah and Kiddush, that Ner Chanukah trumps Kiddush because Ner Chanukah is a matter of Pesumei Nisa, nevertheless, it tells us that Shabbos and the Inyan of Shalom Bayis overrides the Inyan of Pesumei Nisa. But it's a little bit schwer. Pesumei Nisa is mamash a light to the whole world. Ner Shabbos is only a light which is in the house. So why should it have precedence over Ner Chanukah? What the Teretz is a very important Yisod in Hashkafa. And that the light which you shine outside the home can only be as great as the light which shines within the home. When you take the light of Ner Chanukah and you shine it at the Pesach Bayis, this is not something which is anderish, which is different than the Ner Shabbos in the home. You're taking your Ner Shabbos, whatever that may be, and you're lighting it to the world. You're giving the whole world a taste of Kedushas Shabbos. Just like Chazal say, when the man fell for Klai Yisrael. So the leftover mun, it would melt. And then animals would sip from the melted mun. And then the goyim who would shech those animals and eat them, they would be able to see the godless and the tiferes of Klai Yisrael because they were having a taste of what it means. Mun that Klai Yisrael has. And they would say, wow, what a nation this is. So what Ner Chanukah is a taste of Shabbos Kodesh to the whole world. Want to know what it's like to be a Yid? This is just mamash a kol shehu to the whole world, that the whole world should know that Klai Yisrael is the Atav Chatan of Mikol Olam. And just L'mashal L'mad Avadayme, if you have a king, right, and he wants to begin a conquest of the world, and he wants to be king of the whole world, wants to be an emperor of the whole world, it's not even shaykh that if he has any domestic issues in his country that he can even begin to think about embarking on an international conquest. It's impossible. Because if things are rough domestically, how do you expect to fight a war overseas? To make sure that things are solid at home before a person goes out and tries to spread the goodness to the rest of the world. And people can detect it right away. If a person is going outside and he's preaching and saying, oh, we have to be for the sake of peace, and he's preaching whatever he's preaching, especially if he's preaching an inyan of Kedusha, Tara, inyanim of Shalom, and he comes into the home and he sees this mamash a broken home, can't even get along with his wife. I shouldn't say can't even. It's mamash one of the hardest things to do. Many times you can come into a home and you can sense right away whether or not there's shalom in the home. There's not shalom in the home. It's very revealing to walk into a person's home. Not just from what you see in the home, but just the whole atmosphere of the home. Especially on Shabbos Kodesh. So of this, the pasuk says, it says, Ve'ata shalom, ubeischa shalom, v'chol ha'shelecha shalom. We say this on Moshe Shabbos. Not coincidentally, because this is the whole inyan of Shabbos. Moshe Shabbos means also, like a bechin of Chanukah, Moshe Shabbos means to take out the Shabbos and bring it into the rest of the week. Thus is Chanukah. It's the eighth day, which is Sunday, which is the inyan of Chanukah, 8 days. So on Moshe Shabbos, after enjoying that shalom bayis of Shabbos Kodesh, we say, but in this order, Ve'ata shalom, you are shalom. Because if you're shalom, then there's a chance of ubeischa shalom. And if it's ubeischa shalom, then it's v'chol ha'shelecha shalom. Then you can take shalom anywhere. And if this, the pasuk says, and we say this also, I believe, Motzei Shabbos, shalom, shalom, la'rachayk v'la'karayv. This is what's called a shalom la'rachayk, and there's a shalom la'karayv. Shalom la'karayv, do Shabbos. This is what Shabbos is. A shalom la'rachayk, you want to take the shalom far places, that's called Chanukah. But there has to be a shalom la'karayv before there's a shalom la'rachayk. Korach and his rebellion against Moshe and Aharon. It's very interesting that he took Nadav and Avihu, Oin ben Peles, ben Eruvain, and he took 250 men. And he comes with 250 men and he says, Kriyei Moed Anshei Shem. What does it mean, Kriyei Moed? Why 250 men? But the Indian is that 250 is Gematria Ner. And you know which Ner he took? He took the Ner of Chanukah. Because he really tried, and this is what he was preaching. He wasn't coming to say that one of us is going to be the Kohen Gadol. He was preaching every single one of us is a Kohen Gadol. Ki kol am kulam kedoshim. That the Balaturim says, when Klai Yisrael and Har Sinai, every Jew reached the Madrig of Kohen Gadol. There wasn't just one Kohen Gadol. And that's why he says, Rashi brings it, Ki kol aida kulam kedoshim. Every Jew heard on Har Sinai, Nech Hashem Elokecha. And Moshe is just pulling the veil over your eyes. Really, every Jew is a Kohen Gadol, not just Aaron. When do we find that every single Jew is a Kohen Gadol? It's Chanukah. That every single bias is a Beis HaMikdash. And every single man of his home is a Kohen Gadol. And this was the light which he was preaching at that time. He was trying to introduce Ner Chanukah to the world. And that's why it's called Kriyei Moed. He was calling a Moed. Which Moed was he calling? Which Yontif? He was calling on Chanukah. But it wasn't time for Chanukah yet. That's why he made a machlekes against the Aharon. The Ish Oyev Shalom, the Roedev Shalom, the man of peace. That the Kohen Gadol is the one who is Oyev Shalom, not just that he loves Shalom, but he's Roedev Shalom, he brings Shalom to the rest of the world. That he'll chase down Shalom to every corner of the earth. That's the role of the Kohen Gadol, to shine the light of the Pnimius of Shabbos, which is really Moshe. That's why it's Moshe and Aharon go together. He made a machlekes in both of them. Which is the Shalom of Shabbos and the Shalom of Chanukah. The Shalom L'Rachak, the Shalom L'Karev. And the mistake was that you can't separate the Ner Chanukah from the Ner Shabbos. And that was Korach's mistake. You can't just take the Ner Chanukah without taking Shabbos. And that's what Chazal mean, which we quoted before. Korach made a machlekes on Shabbos. And that's what Unkelus says when he says Vayikach Korach Ispalug Korach. Ispalug means that he split in half. He's splitting Shabbos from Ner Chanukah. You can't just take Ner Chanukah without taking Shabbos. Shalom Bayis Adif. And that's why when you look into the home of Korach, that's why Chazal are opening up our eyes dafka here. You want to know where this all starts from? It starts from look in the home of Korach. What's going on in that home? That's a broken home. If your wife is enticing you to go against the Manik Hador, the Tzadik Hador, that's not your Ezer, that's your Kenegdai. And you want to know the opposite of that? That's On Ben Peles, that if his wife, who stands up for the Gadol Hador, who's looking after the best interest in Torah Mitzvah, that she has Emuna Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the difference between Korach and On Ben Peles. You can see within the home. Chazal are opening up our eyes, what's the root, where does this come from? The machlekes on Shabbos is an Indian of Shalom Bayis. And because there was no Shalom Bayis, it was destined to fail. You can't take Ner Chanukah and start preaching you're going to be the world savior if inside the home there's no Shalom Bayis. That's why the Lashon of the Zohar, in fact, in Parshas Vayikra says like this, Dechar b'loy nikva, if you take a dechar, which is the male, without the nukva, polig gufa ikri, it's called a polag gufa. It's like a half a body. Polag is this lashon of Unklus here. Ispalog Korach. That he took the zachar without the nekeva. The zachar is like Chanukah, which means the zachar, his way is to go out. To go out of the house, to spread to the world. But if you don't take the nekeva, which is Shabbos, which is Shalom Bayis, kol kfuda bas melech pnima. If you're taking the zachar without the nekeva, if you're taking Chanukah without Shabbos, forget about it. That's what we said one year, a couple years ago, Ispalag Korach, which is the lesson of Unklus. Right? Gematria 8:22. Gematria Ishto Kegufo. That he made a split in Ishto Kegufo. Which is, by the way, just Hashkof in itself. Ishto Kegufo, it's not for now. What does that mean? Ishto Kegufo is not just a halacha. We know that by Ner Chanukah, the reason why that the husband lights and the woman doesn't light, Mishabur brings it, is because of Ishto Kegufo. As if to say that when you're lighting Ner Chanukah, there has to be an Indian in Ishto Kegufo. But more than that, which is an even a nicer remez b'siyata d'shmaya is a vayikach korach ben yitzar, which are the first four words of the parsha. Matcha shalom bayis. Shalom bayis. 788 with the koila. That the ispul korach means that he made a chaluka in shalom bayis. There's another hashkafa which comes from here, and we'll elaborate on what this means lemaisa for us. It's a little bit self-evident, but it's kedai to speak out. When it comes to the union of shalom bayis and marriage, it's important to know from the get-go that it's something which takes a lot of work. It's hard to be mindful of that because the dating and the engagement period is, when it goes smoothly, it goes really nicely, and it's such a concealment of what really marriage life is all about. It's very easy to go out on dates, especially when things are good. But to live together, this is a nace. To live in harmony is an even bigger nace. So it's important from the beginning to dispel all misconceptions and all fantasies about marriage. That if a person has to go into marriage knowing the husband and the wife, that they're going to have to put a lot of work into it. Because they're mamish opposites from each other. And even if they see eye to eye on many things, which is why they're getting married, otherwise hopefully they won't decide to get married if they don't see eye to eye on things. But the fact that he's a man and she's a woman means that they're different. And it takes a lot of work to coexist. But aside from that, it's the teva of an Adam, of any Ben Adam, to always to be a taker. And we are brought up to be takers. We take from our parents. And we take and we take and we take. And part of being a katan and having a meichin dekanas, of being childish, I guess you could say, in an intellectual way, is to constantly be on the taking side. But as soon as a person is put into a home with a spouse, he has to know right away that he's shifting from being a taker to being a giver. It's mechayiv him to be a giver. And when the Vilna Gaon says that the tachas achayim is to have shiras amidos, right, you can't run away from that. Because as soon as you're married, you're forced into shiras amidos. And of course, it's the best thing for us. Lo tov hios ad melevado. Everybody gains from this. But we're forced into our tikkun. And the place where we're forced into our tikkun more than anywhere else is in the home. If he's going to be on the taking side, if she's going to be on the taking side, and they don't have the understanding together to be b'shalom, which means that they're going to be giving to each other. And this is obviously a very extensive topic, the union of taking and giving in marriage. I'm sure there's not a sefer out there which doesn't talk about taking and giving in marriage. But if this chazal say, just like Hashem says about a balgaiva, ein ani v'hu yechod l'nod b'yachad, we can't live together, we can't coexist. Because gaiva and taking go hand in hand. It's a certain sense of entitlement, that if the husband or the wife comes in to the marriage, into the home, with a sense of entitlement, then there's only 2 feet that this stands on, this home, and that's his and hers. If one of them is already shaking, how's it going to stand? It has to be an understanding going in, a conversation they can have going in, which they should have going in. I saw Rav Gamliel's sefer on marriage, Tifa Nisuin, and a very nice story about Raya Levin. But Ari Levin was a very poor, very, very poor tzaddik. And he was the father-in-law of Yashiv, happens to be also. So when he was in the yichud room with his wife, he turned to his wife and he said to her like this. He said, I know it's customary for a chassan to give his kala, some type of a jewelry in the chassan's room, in the yichud room. He says, but you know I have nothing. So I can't give you any jewelry. What I am going to give you right now is what I'm about to tell you now. Is whatever it is which comes up in the marriage, I'm mevater myself completely to you. Which means that he gave his entire self to her. And when she heard that, she was so much violent, and she said, whatever it is, I'm mevater myself completely to you. It's such a yisod gadol when it comes to marriage. And this is really idealistically what marriage is like, the selflessness, the willing to give over oneself, the mesiras nefesh, which marriage entails. But today Chazal say that if a person divorces his wife, his first wife, even the Mizbeach is more to love the most. Even the Mizbeach cries for him. What does it mean the Mizbeach cries for him? But the Mizbeach is the place of mesiras nefesh. And the reason why the Mizbeach cries is because if there's no Mizbeach in the Mishkan, if there's no Mizbeach in the Jewish home, then it cries. The Mizbeach is the center of the Mishkan. And although the Aron may be, at least according to the Rambam, the Aron is the center of the Mishkan, in terms of spiritually the center of the Mishkan. In terms of placement, and according to Ramban, the Iker of the Mishkan, I'm sorry, the opposite, Ramban is the opposite. The Iker of the Mishkan is the Mizbeach, which means the Mesiras Nefesh, that they have for each other. And we know the very famous story about Rabbi Aryeh Levin. When he went to the doctor with his wife, and he told the doctor, right, what's the matter? He says, our foot hurts. You don't get to that just stamazoy. The person shouldn't fool himself to think that after day one of his chasen, he's holding on the magic of our foot. You only get to our foot if you can go into the yichud room and you can make a pledge. You have to be able to say this story with that story. Otherwise, it's a palagufa. It's a zacher without a nekeva. It's like the Rashi on that story. You want to know how you get to that? When you have a cheder yichud like that. You find something very interesting when it comes to the Mishkan. By the Mishkan, Chazal tell us that when the Torah tells us the yikchu li truma, that when Moshe is instructing the Jewish people to gather up truma, all that which is necessary to build the Mishkan, it says v'yikchu li truma. All the mafarshim ask, even Chazal, what is it v'yikchu li truma? It says v'yitnu li truma. You should be give me truma. Give truma to the Mishkan. V'yikchu li truma means take. Not supposed to. He's not telling him to take for the Mishkan. He's telling him to give for the Mishkan. But apparently, what you see from here is something very interesting. That when it comes to the building of a Mishkan, the word kach doesn't mean to take. It means to give. That's a huge yisod for every home which is a Mishkan. That if you really want to take, if ultimately if you want to benefit from this relationship, then you need to know the Rashi on the word v'yikhu li truma. V'yikhu does not mean to take, it means to give. If there's going to be taking when it comes to Mishkan, it's not going to be a Mishkan. The only way there's going to be a Mishkan is if you understand that the word v'yikhu means v'yitnu. And that's the word from where all marriage comes from. It says, ki yikach ish isha. You don't take a wife. Of course, in halacha, ki yikach means you take her. How do you take her? You take her by understanding that yikach, when it comes to marriage and making a mishkan, is to give to her. V'simach es ishto asher lokach, it says. You're not going to make her happy by taking from her. You're only going to be happy by giving to her. So even there, v'simach es ishto asher lokach means that to be misamech your wife, which you're giving to. This first year especially is a year of what you're giving one to each other. There's a remez to this in Chazal. Chazal say, this is a psik to the Rav Kahana and Parshas Tisetze. It says, shtei nashim v'bayis. If a man has two women in the home, meriva v'bayis. Means he's going to be fighting in the home. That we can understand because the tzara zelazah. But in Pnimius, what this Chazal means is as follows. Shtei nashim v'bayis. If there's two women in the home. And we know that a woman represents taking in a relationship, and the man is a giver. Shtei nashim v'bayis. If he's a woman and she's a woman, which means that they're both taking, then there's going to be meriva and the bayis. Machlokas. Can't be shtei nashim v'bayis. To be givers to each other. That's a bayis name of Israel. It's interesting that by Koyrach, the pasuk has a very interesting lashon. That Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people to stay away from Koyrach because he's about to go under. He says, "He'alu misaviv lemishkan Koyrach v'dasan v'aviram." Stay away from the Mishkan of Koyrach v'dasan v'aviram. Mishkan. What does Mishkan have to do with this? So he said, the bayis, the ol, Mishkan of Koyrach. Yeah, Mishkan. Because Korach was all about Ner Chanukah, which means every Jew is a Kohen Gadol and every Bais is a Mishkan. So here Moshe says, the Mishkan of Korach, Lishi Tasa, that Korach has a Mishkan. Everybody stay away from this Mishkan. This is not a Mishkan. You know why it's not a Mishkan? Because what does it say in the beginning of the Parsha? It says, Vayikach Korach. Korach was a taker. And since Korach was a taker, he's a Vayikach Korach, Moshe knows if Korach is a taker, there's no Mishkan. There's a Mishkan was going to go under. This is the Bayash goes under. It's not a real Mishkan. Because Mishkan means Shechina. He took the kahuna, he took the malchus, he tried to take whatever he could. But where there's a Vayikach Korach, which doesn't mean to give, Korach didn't come to give to everybody. He made it look like, on the outside, he was saying, I'm giving to everybody, I'm giving kahuna gedolah to everybody. Giving mishkans to everybody. But at the root, it was Vayikach Korach. If there's a Vayikach Korach, which doesn't mean to give, then that's not a mishkan. There's no shechina there. Because mishkan is milashon shechina. That's what Chazal are bringing out. Look at the relationship between Korach and his wife. If there was any shechina, it couldn't have come to that. There was no shechina in the home. If there's no near Shabbos, there's no near Chanukah. And that's what the Zohar Kaddish says explicitly. It says, Shabbos ihu shalma ilai v'tatoi. Shabbos is shalom lamala and shalom l'tata. Korach asa la'achkama shalom de la'ela v'sata. Korach came to separate the shalom de la'ela and the shalom de la'tata. I want to speak about this inyan of Shalom de la'ila, Shalom de la'tata, just from a different perspective. We spoke already before how this returns to Shabbos and to Chanukah. Shalom la'karov, Shalom la'rachok. But there's another implication of Shalom la'ila, Shalom la'tata. When we speak about relationships, any relationship, but especially between husband and wife, the very first crucial form of relationship between them is that they should be courteous with each other. They should be amicable. They should be respectful to each other. They should treat each other kindly. And much more than a man or a woman would treat an acquaintance or a business partner or a good friend. At least that level of respect and sense of courtesy should be accorded between a husband and a wife. To get along. That's called shalom. Shouldn't be machlekes between them. Really, there's a high level of shalom in that. When two things become one, that's a higher shalom. When two people can get along with each other just by getting along, that's not, you wouldn't say about that that's really one, they're one entity. That's not one entity. Those are two separate entities, but they know how to make it work. But then there's a higher shalom, which is that two things become one. The merging of two which becomes one. And of this, the Zohar Kaddish says, is shalom ve'is shalom. There's two types of shalom. It's shalom, there's one type of a shalom called regular shalom, and there's another shalom which is called shalom rav. Shalom Rav is a type of a shalom which is called the higher way. And it's of this Chazal tell us on the pasuk of Oisa Shalom Bimraimav that Hashem makes shalom in Bimraimim. What type of shalom does Hashem make in the higher realms? That He takes Eish and Mayim and He brings them together and they become one thing, which is called Shomayim. That when two become one and they create a new entity, that type of a shalom is called Shalom Rav. And that's a very high level of shalom. When we speak about relationships, especially between husband and wife, ideally, what we want, what we see as a huge success in relationship between husband and wife, is called shalom rav. Shalom rav means that you look at the husband and you look at the wife, and they don't feel between each other that they're two separate entities, that they're living, that they're getting along with each other, they live in the same home, but they're living separate lives, and they know how to make it work. Shalom Rav, which is Oisa Shalom B'Maimav, is that even though the husband is like Ish, and the woman is like Mayim, or vice versa, depending on the personalities. But one, not just on the personalities, but B'Metzias. Right? One is going to be, an Ish has more of an Inyan of Mayim, and the Ish has more of an Inyan of Eish, of Rachamim and Dinim. So to bring husband and wife together in a way where they're mamish like one, that's like a nace like Oisa Shalom B'Maimav. It requires a lot of hishtalus and tziyata d'shamayim and tefillah to be able to reach such a madrig on shalom, which is called shalom rav, or yisa shalom b'mayim rav. But there's no way to get there for sure unless it begins from a place of shalom tata. And that's really what we're speaking about here. When we speak about kairach, that he was efkema, that he was paigim between shalom ilah and shalom tata, when we speak about relationships between husband and wife, we need to be understanding of the fact that there's a shalom tata, and there's a shalom ilah, and they're not exclusive of each other. And just to keep in mind that there's no way that even if you understand what it means, Shalom Ilah, and it makes sense to you that there's such a concept, but there's no way to be able to get there without Shalom Tata. Again, if you can't come to the Madriga of Our Foot Hurts, which is Mamash One, where he and her, they're the Mamash One entity. That's how, it wasn't just that he was saying that. That was his Hashkafa. That which the Gemara says in the second parak of Kiddushin, that v'ahavta l'recha kamecha is referring to the relationship between a husband and a wife. That's mamish v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. There's no relationship in the world which is able to replicate the kamecha, mamish, in a relationship of the darga that a person can reach them with his spouse. It's not possible to get there without shalom tata first. We have to know what's realistic and what's not realistic. We have to know that it begins with Shalom Tata, and then you can come to Shalom Ilah, but the goal is Shalom Ilah, and not Chas V'Shalom to separate between the two things. That even after you reach Shalom Ilah, you still have to maintain the Shalom Tata. And when you're holding a Shalom Tata, you still have to strive for Shalom Ilah. Shalom Ilah means that they're one. Shalom Tata means that we're really one, but we're also two. And that's really the ideal relationship. When a husband and wife, they don't just become one entity, and mamish his life is her life, and her life is his life, and they have no life outside of each other. That's not life. That it has to be two people who are one, and one entity which is still two. That he doesn't have to give up his friends because they're married, and she doesn't have to give up hers. Right? He has a life, and she has a life, but they have a life as one together. Not just that they get along and they make it work, that they're cordial with each other. Right? That they have that sense of oneness, that even when he's away from the home, he still feels that oneness with her. And when she's in the home and he's, whatever it is, they feel that sense of oneness. They carry it along with them. And it's a metzias because we're talking about neshamas here. It's not just a concept. When a man marries a woman, he gives a part of himself to her. She gives a part of herself to him. And they become one entity and they have a new mazel. That's why you say to Chassan Kala, mazel tov. Because you're creating a new mazel, and you give a bracha, that new mazel which is being created from these two entities which are coming one, that it should be a good one. It's a fine bracha to say mazel tov. Not just something which we just throw out, a cliche, a mazel tov, not knowing what it means. You're creating a new entity. When a new baby comes into the world, and he has a bris, and he has a new neshama, you say mazel tov, because a new mazel is being created. And it should be a good one. But it should be two which is one, and one which is two. It has to do with the Nesira. There's many very fine things in Pnimiyas Satara that when they become uncovered, it shares a lot about relationships, what it means that Adam and Chava were created back to back and then he came forward. It has a lot to do with this Indian as well. Maybe we'll come to it in Mirtz Hashem. But there has to be Shalom Ilah and a Shalom Tata. And that's why, by the way, when a woman marries her husband, it's very interesting that if her last name was Schwartz and now it's Stein, her first name doesn't change. If his name is Reuven, her name is now also not Reuven. Why not? Because there's two parts to the marriage. Mitzad the fact that they've become one entity, so they have the same last name. But mitzad the fact that they still have to maintain their own self-identity. She has her first name. But she has her first name, but she has now his last name. Because now they're one. But even though they're one, she also has to know how to exist as an individual. She doesn't have to forfeit her individuality, chas v'shalom. The more that she becomes one together with him, it'll bring out more of her individuality. he's able to bring out kochas within her, and she'll bring out kochas within him when they're willing to invest what it takes in order to make it what Hashem has expectations for every home, that it should be a Mishkan. So we see the priority of Shalom Bayis, that although a person may have tremendous aspirations what he's going to do for the world, and he wants to be Mashiach, and I bet Mashiach Tzidkenu has a very beautiful home. And the wife is encouraging of what he wants to do, and he's encouraging of what she wants to do. To know how to prioritize, we see at least in the beginning from the Parsha the necessity, how essential it is. Shalom Bayis. Understand what it means, Shalom Ilah, Shalom Tata, to know what we're striving for, what we're heading towards. And it's something which takes a tremendous yant to the Shemaya. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. And it's chos of making union out of Shalom Bayis, of trying to hold on to Shabbos Kodesh, what Shabbos represents, what Chanukah represents, Shalom Ilah, Shalom Tata. She brings kaim upon us all the brachos of Shalom Bayis. That which it says, Ata Shalom. We should be zecher to see the true shalom will be a skoyot tzedek from here.